There's an opening in which I can have the privilege and the honor of inviting Pastor Casey to come and share God's word with us. And of course, I won't be with you shortly after this. I have to speak at another church. The service starts at 11 o'clock, but I told them I'll be there about 11:20. So you just wait for me, okay? But anyway, I didn't think I should speak today because I spoke last week. I'm speaking next week. I'm speaking on 31st. And so, 22nd, 23rd, I'm also speaking. So I think you'll get tired of my voice. So it's best to have someone, refreshing to come. Actually, this morning you heard someone looks very refreshing. You know why? Joseph Toh, no more beard. See, y'all didn't see the difference. No more beard. That's why he looks refreshing and fresh. But we have a very refreshing speaker here today, Pastor Casey from Calvary Baptist. Let's welcome Pastor Casey.
Pastor, thank you very much. It's good to be back here. The last time I was with you was when you were in the wilderness at Queenstown Baptist Church. Certainly, it's good to see all of you, and I thank God for the privilege. Thank you, Pastor Edwin, for giving me this honor to share with you God's word this morning. I bring greetings from Calvary Baptist Church. Thank God we also will have Christmas services, and we look forward also to God working a mighty work in our midst as we share God's love concerning the coming of Jesus, our Savior, to our neighbors as well. You know, Christmas, as what Joseph say, is the most wonderful time of the year. Actually, it's a song by Andy Williams. You know, you can't help but to hear them over the radio at this time of the year. And this is true, isn't it, that Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas, for many, is a holiday most anticipated and celebrated all over the world. You just have to go to Orchard Road, right? Just now somebody was saying it's in white. I hope this is the right slide. Or Marina Bay, the streets are so full of lights. People are going about shopping in the malls for gifts, preparing to give to their family and loved ones on Christmas Day. Nowadays, more and more people are doing their Christmas shopping in the comfort of their home. Many trolls the internet for super deals. My wife knows this very well. No, she's not an shopaholic. My children are. My wife knows because she's the one who receives all the packages when they're delivered to our home. There you go. Just this week. So are there any stay-at-home parent or grandparents here that now has this additional burden added to your job description? I feel for you. Because they come at all times of the day, right? They don't just come in the morning. If they say they're coming at 5 p.m., they'll come at 9. You know, so it's something we have learned to live with. And for many Singaporeans today, Christmas season has also become the time to take their family for holidays. I think as Joseph was saying, there seems to be less people. Yeah, in all the churches, we do see that exodus to other places. But this is good, I believe. Spending time with the family is to be encouraged. Coupled with year-end bonuses, there's always a good feeling. There's always a good feeling in the air of having more to spend on things and activities during this season. Indeed, I know, and I hope you join me too, to recognize that Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year, the happiest season of the year. But such happiness, as Joseph said, thank you, Joseph, you have actually said a lot of what I wanted to say today with your introduction, but that's how God leads us, right? When things come together, you know that's the right thing to say. It has to be more than just a feeling, isn't it? Now, Christmas in the air must be more than just a feeling or a physical activity, something that not just lasts for a while. Not a happiness just based on the outward. For Christmas to be truly meaningful, dear friends, this happiness must come from the inside out. That is, it is about the joy that springs from our hearts, from an understanding of what Christmas is truly about, and to be prepared to celebrate it with joy from our heart. Today's passage informs us about the lead-up to the first Christmas season. How Mary, the mother of Jesus, understood it to be, and her response towards it. By putting ourselves in the sandals of Mary as we study from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 56, I hope we'll be challenged by three godly postures of one who's willing to be part of God's kingdom plan for mankind. So it's not just a Christmas that we celebrate. It is about God's kingdom plan that is behind the very heart of Christmas that we celebrate. And we take it to heart because God has invited us to be part of that plan. Amen? It is my hope that as we prepare to celebrate the birth of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ this Christmas, that we too can adopt these same postures to bring about a delight to our God and to be used by Him for His kingdom purpose. Now, this is timely, as New Life will be having a Christmas musical this coming Friday and Saturday night. So I'm not only just speaking generally, I'm speaking specifically to the people that will be involved in Friday and Saturday's musical. You are part of God's kingdom plan to bring about true Christmas in the hearts of your community. So let us begin by reading God's word. It is long, but let's take time to read it together. Chapter 1 of Luke 25 to 26. Let's stand as we read God's word together. This is God's word. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. May the Lord add His blessings to us as we have read God's word, the truth, this morning together. This account of Mary in Luke chapter 1 began 9 months before the first Christmas. The angel Gabriel was sent from heaven into an obscure village in Galilee called Nazareth to privately reveal to a virgin of the house of David that she was chosen by God to be the mother of the Savior. This gospel writer, Luke, he wrote that this happened in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. After the angel had encountered Zechariah at the temple in Jerusalem to announce the coming birth of John the Baptist. Now, this angel Gabriel is the messenger of God, often tasked to reveal God's plan with regards to the coming of the Messiah. So he is a special angel. He's tasked to talk about the Messiah and what is going to come as a result of it. This angel Gabriel had first appeared to the prophet Daniel 500 years before, and then to Zechariah, and from today's text, now to Mary. Why, you may ask, was Mary of all people in Israel chosen to be the mother of Jesus? I believe this question is especially maybe tender towards the ladies in this room. Why is it that Mary, of all the ladies in Israel, was chosen to be the mother of Jesus? Well, first, Mary qualified to be the mother of Jesus based on her family line, something that she has no control over. She was from the chosen house of King David. Chosen because in 2 Samuel 7:12 to 13, it was prophesied that the Messiah or Savior will be the descendant of King David. Next, as we have read just now from Isaiah 7:14, and this was repeated again in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, we read of a second qualification, that the mother of Jesus was to be a virgin. Without the virgin birth, Jesus cannot be Jesus. He cannot be Emmanuel, God with us. The virgin birth of Jesus authenticates the divinity of Jesus and his credentials to be Messiah or Savior. Therefore, Mary was chosen because she was a virgin. Third, and most importantly, it was very evident that Mary was chosen because of her simple faith. Her simple faith. And I believe this is one key aspect that distinguished her from all the other eligible women in Israel and sealed God's divine selection of Mary as the mother of Jesus. As a result, she's known in history today as the one who has given a wonderful, unique part in God's plan of salvation for mankind, to be the mother of the Son of God. So, what are the three postures of faith that distinguish Mary from the rest? First, it was her willingness to be a servant of God, submitted to the will of God. A servant of God, submitted to the will of God. It is through a conversation with the angel Gabriel from verses 26 to 38 that she displayed a true heart of servanthood through a subjection to the will of God. Three things to observe about being a servant of God and a person of faith. One, age is no barrier to a life of faith. Age is no barrier to a life of faith. Pastor Edwin just now mentioned that I was a youth pastor before. And truly, that is what I tell them. God calls people of all ages. And in particular here, we read that it is Mary, a young teenage girl, that God chose to be the mother of Jesus. Mary was likely a young teenager about 12 to 14 years old, as it was the custom then to marry off a girl anytime from the age of 12. 2, marry as a girl in an obscure village was likely to be illiterate. And her knowledge of the scripture probably limited to what she learned at home or what she heard in the synagogue. So, it tells me that you don't have to be well educated to be faithful to God. Amen? You just have to trust in Jesus to be chosen by Him for divine work. In fact, the same author, Luke, also wrote in the book of Acts of Jesus' disciples. What did he say? He said the enemies of God thought Jesus' disciples were what? Ignorant. Were ignorant and unschooled. So that's also something for the adults here. We may grow up, perhaps, a little bit slow, but that is no barrier for God to use you. 3, it is okay to seek understanding about God's intention for you. It's okay. Doesn't mean that because God spoke once, therefore you must, with full understanding, apply what you need to do. Here we can take comfort from the initial reaction of Mary to the angel Gabriel's visit. It tells us that Mary was human, like any of us. When the angel Gabriel said to her, "Greetings," or a better translation is, "Rejoice, rejoice, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." We are told that Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The literal sense here is this. It's not that he was just troubled because she was frightened. She was troubled because the literal sense tells us she was pondering over what was happening. It was not just a physical fear. It was more of a mental seeking of understanding. And I think this is a wonderful frame of reference for us to know. Because when God speaks to us, usually we stumble. But to have this attitude of God, attitude of Mary, to have the pondering attitude of seeking to understand, I believe that is where we need to be. As the angel Gabriel noticed her reaction and amazement, he went on to assure her again, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Thus, dear friends, it is not unchristian to have doubts when God deals with us. It is natural and human to somewhat question what is really happening. But the difference is whether you have positive doubts or negative ones. Whether you have initial healthy skepticism or one that is sustained unreasonable skepticism. Mary's doubt led her to think about what was happening and to seek discernment for understanding. This is a key lesson, my dear friends, we must learn from Mary, the mother of Jesus. That when God engages us, we are to maintain a positive attitude to learn the truth about what God is telling and not to shun God's attempt to engage us for fear of what He wants us to do or to be. Mary, though she was still having doubts about what was happening, she kept an attitude of healthy skepticism that helped her process what God was leading her into. And then, with this opening, it allowed Angel Gabriel to provide greater clarity about the will of God for her. A positive attitude opens the door for greater clarity. Brothers and sisters, our questioning mind must keep us open if we are to let God engage us with His will for us. Only then are we able to move towards knowing His will and stepping up in obedience to Him. For discerning God's will is a process that will take time. It is for Mary. It will be for you and it will be for me. As she received this good news that God has chosen her, fresh personal doubts flashed through Mary's mind again. How will this be? Since I'm still a virgin. Note that Mary's question was more of trying to understand the process, for she knows that she has not been sexually active as yet. She was still a virgin then. Here, Mary's desire was for enlightenment. This is healthy skepticism at its best and acceptable to God. Amen? On the other hand, Zechariah was also told about God's work in his life, but he asked the how question similar to Mary. But he ended with a different response by the angel Gabriel. For Zechariah, when he asked the how question, it was as a result of unbelief. And because of that, and angel Gabriel made it clear for us, their conversation ended. Zechariah was made speechless. No more talk. Note that our unbelief does not foil the plan of God, but it draws us away from the purposes of God. Unlike Zechariah, Mary's desire for understanding once again allowed the angel Gabriel to continue the engagement with Mary. And then he goes on to give two firm assurances to Mary. The first was an accomplished fact that, hey, you just have to look at your cousin, Elizabeth. In her old age, though she was barren, she is now with child. That could have been quite an affirmation. Then the second affirmation was this, that angel Gabriel stated the obvious biblical truth. We all know it. In fact, we sing about it. For nothing is impossible with God. But the problem with us is this. We as believers often forget it. So when faced with a real issue, we do things with our own hands rather than look to God. For nothing is impossible with Him. Now, these two assurances about the unlimited power of God certainly could have carried through God's will for her life. So Mary responded with simple faith. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. With delightful simplicity and in full surrender and passionate devotion to the will of God, Mary answered, so be it lah, so be it lah, so be it lah. She was truly the servant of God, submitted to the will of God. Now surely Mary as a young teenager could not have fully understood the full implication of her response. How would she have to face the shame and gossip that would follow? How could she have understood that according to the law, if you have done this extramarital sex, you could be stoned to death? Surely she would have not thought about, what about Joseph? How am I going to explain this situation to her? But her childlike faith carried her through. Mary accepted her calling from God without further rebellion or delay, bowed in submission to His will. With that response, today she became an example of first time full obedience for us. And you know what? God was and is always working behind the scenes of our lives so as to achieve His will and purpose. We know that the angel Gabriel then went on to tell Joseph. Right? From the Gospel of Matthew, we know something of the grief and perplexity that Joseph himself actually went through when he learned that his wife was already with child that was not his own. But after the encouragement of the angel Gabriel, like Mary, Joseph too accepted God's calling and took full responsibility to serve God according to His plan and His ways. Like Mary, we will not know all that God will require of us. But like Mary, we must be prepared to trust God with childlike faith. To be a servant fully submitted to His will, knowing that God will always act according to His good purpose. Now you may be here, and God is already engaging you with His will for your life. Perhaps to step up in ministry, and to be a servant in some capacity for Him. First, don't resist God's engagement in your life. Second, learn from Mary. Take on the heart of a servant. Be willing to submit to the will of God. Know that nothing is impossible for God, and He's always working to accomplish His will through those who obey His leading. Next, from Mary's life, we see that Mary was the child of God, blessed by the favor of God. This lesson is an obvious one, as we see this verbalized by Mary's cousin Elizabeth in verses 42 and 45. That Mary was the blessed one among women, and blessed is the child that she will bear, and that blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. And I like what Martin Luther, the great reformer of the church, wrote. Oh, Mary, you are blessed. You have a gracious God. No woman has ever lived on earth to whom God has shown such grace. You are the crown of them all. I can't tell that to my wife, because this has already been taken by Mary, the mother of Jesus. So what is less obvious here, and perhaps more important for us to realize, is that Mary, by the time she met the angel Gabriel, was already a highly favored one. She had already been a recipient of God's grace even before she said, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." So it's not about performance. You know that? It's not about your performance. It's not because I'm blessed because I perform well for God. It is about who you are that is of great importance. Mary, by the time she was a teenager, was really a child of God who knows God and trusts in Him. It's not about performance. It is about who you are. For to enjoy God's favor is to recognize that it is only by God's grace that one is blessed. Let us never forget that Mary was born sinful and she too needed a Savior. This Mary was fully aware of. For in her praise song, which we read from verses 46 to 55, she already acknowledged that she rejoices in God, her Savior, and that she was blessed because she had found grace with God. As followers of Christ, we too are already recipients of God's grace and of His blessings. Ephesians chapter 1 clearly states that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. We need not doubt God's goodness to us. We must, however, appropriate it by faith. Like Mary, to know that we are blessed because we have found grace with God. To Mary, the angel Gabriel also declared, "The Lord is with her." This reference is to the presence of God in her life. This is a favor of God in Mary's life even before she gave birth to Jesus. So what is the significance of this phrase, "The Lord is with her"? The Jews, they already know this well. For they know that blessings flow from the presence of God. Blessings flow from the presence of God. These blessings of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 are not necessarily about wealth. They're not necessarily about things or even health. They are spiritual blessings. As we grow old, we will find that material things, even wealth and health, do not fully satisfy, nor can we maintain them always to our satisfaction. Divine blessing that stems from the presence of God is more about inner peace, a hope for the future, and a joy that no one can take away. Isn't this about the things we sing in Christmas? That's the blessing we're talking about. I'm talking about restedness, contentment, and satisfaction. Let me illustrate what I mean by blessings flow from the presence of God from an Old Testament verse, found in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 14. We read, "The ark of God remained there in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months. And the Lord blessed the household of Obed-Edom and everything he owned." Now, many of us do not know of Obed-Edom, and we certainly want to be like him. That he thoroughly enjoyed the abundant blessings of God showered on him. Now, Obed-Edom was an ordinary person like us. What made him and his family different was the presence of the ark of God in the household. We are told that the ark remained with Obed-Edom for 3 months, and the Lord blessed his household and everything he owned. It means this, guys, you not only will be blessed, but you will be a blesser to others because God's blessing will flow from you to others. So your household will too be blessed. And that is what it means, that blessings flow from the presence of God. So what is this ark of God? The ark of God represents the presence of God with his people. This is Emmanuel. This is Emmanuel, God with Obed-Edom and his household. So can it be for us? Blessings flow from the presence of God. So Mary had enjoyed the blessings of the presence of God, and through her, she gave birth to Jesus, our Emmanuel, God with us. And because of Christ, Christians now have the gift of the Holy Spirit as a seal of our salvation in Christ. And today, we too can declare that we too can enjoy this presence of God in our lives. And the blessings, his blessings, will flow from us, through us, to others. Third, let me now move on to what we can learn about Mary's posture, the mother of Jesus, that she was a worshipper of God, led by the Spirit of God. A worshipper of God, led by the Spirit of God. Finally, we read that as Mary, the mother of Jesus, meditated on the marvelous mystery that has been revealed to her and the grace of God to involve her in her divine, in God's divine plan, we see the exuberance which was spontaneously expressed in passionate praise and worship of God. Unquestionably, Mary was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write and sing these words of praise to God. For these words could only come from one who knew the grace of God personally, and to see herself in the context of a broader plan of God that involves not only herself, but the world. She was not only rested in her own salvation, but she had a sense of awe and wonder at who God is and how he's bringing about true justice and peace to the world. So we can see it is not something that she knows for herself. It is the Holy Spirit that has given her the enlightenment to not only see that she is blessed by God, but that she is part of God's divine plan, not only for herself, but that has been extended to the world. And for each and every one of us who are Christ followers here, we hold the same understanding. Our life is not about us alone. It is not even about the people around us. It is about the world. And therefore, New Life Baptist Church people, as you go out to share the joy of Christmas this coming weekend, you do it as part of that heritage that has stemmed from this understanding of Mary as she wrote this song in praise of God. In this song by Mary, there is a divine principle which inspired and was expressed in verses 50 to 53. Through these verses, Mary revealed God's character. That God had a soft spot for those in need. And that he is committed to the welfare of the meek, the weak, the poor, and the contrite person. For his mercies extends to them who fear him from generation to generation. Now what Mary did was the rightful response of thanksgiving for anyone who has received God's grace and favor. The trouble with us today is this. Though to worship our Creator God is a rightful response, a needful expression, we do not do this by nature, to want to worship God. So the Holy Spirit knows this. And therefore, if we are living by the Spirit will always prompt us to worship. That is why this thing about worshipper of God, led by the Spirit of God, is a very important understanding. Yes, we can have the discipline of worship. We come and we want to worship. But we cannot just worship with our mind. Nor can we only worship with our emotions. We must worship with the Holy Spirit leading us. Amen? That's why we call it Spirit-led worship. We want to be a worshipper. It doesn't come naturally. We need to depend on the Holy Spirit to lead us into it. So the problem with our worship is that sometimes we depend too much on what we feel or we sense. And then these physical pursuits, in fact, will then draw us away from what is spiritual and eternal. So we can still worship passionately even if the music is not as good, even if the atmosphere is not as conducive. And I must say, I really enjoy this worship hall. I just told Joe, I said, it still smells new. There's a freshness to it. It is not just about these things. More importantly, it's about the heart of worship, right? And the heart of worship can only be true if the Holy Spirit is the one that is leading us forward. So let us learn from Mary, the mother of Jesus, to value the riches of God's mercy, to value the riches of God's grace, to value the riches of God's love, and to always ascribe to the riches of God's glory. And when we do, we become in sync with God's heart, and we will offer our true worship to Him. We will begin to worship this God from whom all blessings flow. Not just with the physical expression, but more and more so with deeper spiritual and eternal offerings as well. In conclusion, how does your spiritual posture compare to that of Mary? She responded with God's engagement in her life positively. And as a result, she was graciously blessed by God with favor upon her, which flows spontaneously into the worship of God. If we learn these lessons of a proper posture in response to God's work and leading in her life, our lives too can be a delight unto God. And when we do, God is pleased to use us as His blessing for others. I end with a final illustration. Let me ask a question of drivers here. Do you prefer to drive manual or to drive auto? Okay, yeah. Well, for me, I used to love driving a manual car. I relished the control of the steering wheel to be able to manipulate the gear, the brakes, and the acceleration to maximize the smoothness of the drive, right? And the joy of driving. But to drive an auto car requires a different mindset. A trust in the design of the car engine and the auto system that the car employs. So it is how we are to live our spiritual life as well. Okay? What do I mean? Our lives can be likened to cars. A Christian cannot drive his own car manually. Rather, a Christian life must be that of automatic cars. That is controlled by God. God must be at the steering wheel. And He is the one who determines the design of our car and how the auto system works. Now, just the other day, I noticed a car that stalled along the road. Nowadays, they don't push it to the side. Huh? Last time when I remember my first drive, if my car is stalled, I will try to push it to the side and everybody will try to help me. Nowadays, they just leave it in the center of the road. Sidetracked. But this thing about the car being stalled got me thinking. Because really, when an auto car stalls, you cannot push start it, right? There's no way you can start it again. What do you do? You first check ignition working properly or not, right? Your emergency brake release or not. And of course, with auto cars, you need to put the gear back into park before you can even start the car again. So this tells me that all these things must work together in order for the auto car to move forward. This posture that we are talking about, that of servanthood, that of being blessed by God, that of being a worshiper, all this must come together automatically. It is not by our design. It's by God's design. When these things come together, the automatic nature of our lives moves forward and we get to the destination God wants us to go. Amen? Many a times it's because we struggle. You know, it's like as though we're driving a manual car. You know, it's not going well and it's there's a screech and then because the gear is not released when you want to change, when you want to sort of change the gear and you're doing it all wrong. Sometimes our lives are like that. But when you have this proper posture that Mary showed us through this word of God today, things move smoothly. The joy of living, getting to the destination that God wants us to go. So may this Christmas be a Christmas where we do this, and we do this well. Not only for the Christmas, because if you learn this posture, every day is a Christmas for us. Let us pray together. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We recognize, God, that there's so much text in it that we cannot cover everything. But through your divine guidance, Lord, you have led us to these three postures that Mary showed us that we may live our lives aright before you. And use this understanding, Lord, to not only use our lives, not only to bless our lives, not only to help us to worship you in spirit and in truth, but also, Lord, to be a light to the world and the salt of the earth, that others may know Jesus, the true reason for the season. In his name we pray, amen.